with the grilling guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the grilling guy rig, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows. You're gonna listen to the Grilling Guys Show.
Welcome back. You are listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, Bob, I think fall is finally here, brother. We're not going to have any more of that 70, 80-degree weather, and the snap is in the air. You're driving around about dusk, and there's deer running around everywhere. I know we're not in rut yet here, but, God, the feelings are stronger. I've not been out yet, admittedly, but I think tonight's my first night. Going to go out and sit in a tree. I just couldn't get into it when it was warm, and then had a busy week, right?
Yeah.
So couldn't get out.
But there's still mosquitoes in the garage, though. Welcome back. Thanks for joining the Grilling Guys. There is some we've had a couple days of frost, and we've had this gentleman on the show before. His name is Tim Roller from Whitetail Journey. Good morning, Tim.
How are you guys?
Good. Been watching a lot of your pictures on Facebook. I know one of the things that you're surprising everyone with is a dramatic weight loss, and we won't hit you on your special diet unless it's like, nothing but venison diet.
But no, that's how you get to where I was.
Yeah.
Copious amounts of things. Venison, it's changed a little bit.
So you've been doing a lot of scouting.
I have, yeah. And, things are really starting to kick off, like you guys were just saying. This cooler weather is kind of jump starting things, and it's only going to get better from here.
We had Babe Winkleman on a couple weeks ago, and he said the rut should be starting like today, based on the autumnal equinox and his calculation. But I think he's right, because I was seeing chasing 2 weeks ago, so it's early this year, and I'm happy about that, because I too will be sitting in a blind tonight. So help our folks tune up their scouting techniques.
Sure. Well, I'll tell you, there's never a bad time to scout. There's times that are definitely better than others. And my scouting changes throughout the year on what I'm doing and what I'm willing to do. So that's probably first and foremost for me, is you got to know when you can do certain things and when not. I'll give you an example of that. For me, I love to get inside bedding areas and find out how those deer are coming in, what they're doing in there, and where they're leaving. But there's a specific time to do that, and a really specific time on when not to do that. So, those are the types of things I think that I know that has made me more successful over the years, when I've figured out not only how I'm scouting, but timing is really everything.
So expound on that for us a little bit, Tim. What is a good time to get into that bedding area, and what are the ones to avoid?
Well, I think the best time, and for me the only time, I'll go into a bedding area unless I'm tracking a deer. But the only time I'm going to go scout a bedding area is right after your season closes. Now, that depends on obviously wherever you are, but throughout the Midwest, that's going to be sometime January, early February is when the seasons close, and that's when I love to get in them. If you're fortunate enough to have snow, it makes it even better.
Yeah, obviously, it sure
you
does.
Can follow the runways and the trails in. You can see specifically where the beds are. And then once the snow leaves, I'll go back in there right away when the snow is off, because then you can really see what was going on like in November. The scrapes are still, they look like they were just made because they've been covered in snow all winter. So you can really get a great idea of how those deer are entering and exiting that area, how they're using it. And it gives you a leg up on how you want to hunt around it, with certain winds, with tree stand locations, all of that stuff.
So let's say a guy's going on to public land this weekend or in the next few days, and he doesn't know the land so well. What types of scouting activities, what should he be looking for?
Well, public or private, right? Whenever I'm hunting a new property, or I get a new lease, or I have access on a new property, the first thing I'm going to do, the head start for me, the bulk of my scouting before I ever get on that ground, is done online. And we have so many resources now that are available online that we just never had when I, you know, started hunting over 30 years ago.
Like topographical maps from Google?
Yeah, aerial photos. You know, you can, there's a bunch of them. Google Earth, right? There's a bunch of apps out there now. Onyx Hunt is one that I rely on big time, because it's a paid app, and I think it's like $100 for the year. But what you get with that is any ground you pull up in any state, it's going to give you the boundaries, the property lines, whether private or public. It's going to tell you the deer management unit in that particular area. It's going to give you a lot of information. And you don't need that stuff necessarily to scout, but, you know, there's a lot of free ones, like I said, where you can go on, pull up your aerials and look at those. You're going to see topography. You're going to see all kinds of openings or small water sources, whatever, that you don't know if you've not been on there. And then one thing that's really... I see a lot of people do is they want to just center on that particular piece of property that they're going to be on. You need to look at the surrounding properties as well, because you might not have food, you might not have water, you might not have bedding cover on the property you're able to hunt. That doesn't matter if your adjacent land does. And you might not be able to hunt that land, but you can use what those deer are doing. They might just transition through your property. Perfect. Find out where they're going from. You can find bedding areas. You can find water sources, food sources. Get in between those on your properties.
So I got a scenario for you. I'm fortunate enough to have a guy invite me to his property. He's got pre-installed stands, right? Mm-hmm. These are permanent ones, shacks, elevated shacks. And we go in there throughout the season, and we're in and out every night. But on all, he's got 80 acres of woodlot and grass, and on all four sides of it are crop fields. And what we find is an entry and an exit into this area is when we're seeing the deer move, is they're either going out to feed or they're coming back in from feeding. But as the season changes, the timing changes as well. Yep. And I just wondered if you could indicate or give us your opinion on when deer feed as the season changes.
Well, some of that, I'll be happy to answer your question. Let me precursor that with something though here, because a lot of times guys will go in and out to sets. I'm not saying you guys are doing this at all, but you get going in the same motion and the deer are pretty relatively at ease at the beginning of the season. Well, all of a sudden they start getting some human intrusion. That's going to change, their timing on a lot of things as well. So people need to realize that when they're going into properties, that if you your entries and exits are as important as your stand sites, maybe more so, because there's great stand sites that I just can't get into in the mornings, or I can't get into them in the evenings without boogering them up. And so those are things that will definitely dramatically affect deer movement as well. But as the season progresses, to address your point here, yeah, feeding times are going to change. Now, that's dictated by an awful lot of things. Weather can dictate that. We saw that perfectly, just a great example of that this past week when the first real cold front of the fall came through. Where I hunt, the deer were on their feet an hour and a half, 2 hours earlier in the evenings, because the temperature dropped about 30, 35 degrees in the previous days. That's going to put them on their feet earlier. Moon phases are going to put them on their feet, barometric pressure. A lot of things related to weather are going to dictate when deer get up and when they don't get up. So that's one thing. And then as we get closer to the rut, them deer are going to be up on their feet more, especially the bucks, because they're cruising and searching. And when they find does, they're going to bump them and they're going to get them up as well. They're going to push them into the food sources. The bucks are going to hit the food sources sooner because they're looking for deer. Once they get hooked up, that's a whole different story. But
yeah,
there's an awful lot of things that that can dictate when the deer get up and move.
Okay, we've got less than a minute. Tell folks how to find you.
Yeah, our website, whitetailjourney.com, and then we're all over social media, Whitetail Journey on Facebook and Instagram.
All right. Tim Roller, Whitetail Journey, appreciate you taking a little time with us, and we certainly hope that some of these techniques and tips you've given out today help folks find that sweet buck bedroom.
There you go. Hey, I appreciate it, guys. Good luck to you. Stay safe this fall.
All right, buddy. Thanks, man.
You know, every time we talk to Babe or an expert like Tim, I pick something up. I learn something, right? The overall sentiment for me is this isn't an accident. There's science, and you got to practice to be good at this. But coming up next, maybe we'll get away from some protein and hit some fall vegetables on the grill. Stick with us. We'll